this stage, Meyer glass was the pinnacle of German glass, so that visiting heads of state would be given a piece of Meyer glass. In 1973, when he went, you know, on one of his habitual visits to the Hessen glass factory to pick up some more blanks, and he spied out of the corner of his eye a stack of glass rods.
So I took a bundle of these, of different canes, as they are called, with me. These canes were used to make buttons or jewelry out of it. Then over the next few years, I experimented, was melting down, was cutting into them and then melting, until I came to a point where I made a mold, not knowing what kind of material one would use for a mold, and laid out pieces of these canes and fused them together. But somehow I had hit a technique that was familiar to early Egyptian techniques. It was familiar possibly to Venetian techniques in some ways. It was familiar to some techniques that were tried but unsuccessfully in the United States by Carter at Stew Ben Glass. But the point of this is nowhere you found a report through what kind of problems these different areas worked themselves to have a successful work.
And he really did have to start from scratch. These days, everybody does fused glass because, of course, they've got a how-to manual, thanks to Klaus Meyer. And he spent 2 years experimenting, figuring out the compatibility, figuring out how to use them, figuring out the viscosity of the material. And by then, he'd found a visual language of his own. From then on, he and Isgard went their separate ways, really, and Klaus started this fabulous kiln-forming technique.
My name's Nigel Lendon, and I'm a friend and colleague of Klaus's. He has almost single-handedly, internationally, influenced the development of studio glass art, because his techniques and his processes that he's developed sits halfway between the European tradition of casting and cold working and the Venetian and American tradition of blowing and forming that way. But he actually invented this kiln form technique, which required technological advances and a huge amount of experimentation to get to the stage where colour would work like this, where it would sit together without snapping once it cooled down. So Klaus has sort of created a third method of making studio glass, which didn't exist before.
He was top of his field. He was famous in Germany as a glass artist. And at that stage, Chihuly had invited him to teach at Pilchuck.
At the Pilchuck Glass School, which is an international glass school, which is a summer school in the Seattle area. There I was confronted with the glass scene that was far away from what I did. I was very separate with my fusing attempts and my specific kind of work, whereas the general trend was towards the fire, was towards the glass blowing, which is so much more interesting to watch, which has this theatrical moment in the making. But it was this freedom that the Americans took, which we didn't have in Europe. My pieces were not ashamed of using color anymore. When I came back, the size grew. And so it didn't care anymore what others thought. It came only to the point that you did what you wanted to do. And I must say, this is a kind of a freedom that the Americans provided me with.
He had that Lutheran imperative to give back, but he felt that, you know, he was at the apex of his practice, and he decided that he really wanted to teach more and more and more, and he was being invited to give workshops more and more and more. So he had this sense of serious fulfilment, and the question was where to go from there. His relationship with Isgard was finished. both personal and professional relationship was finished. And because he was teaching at a number of places in Europe and America, he started to realise that there was a big gap between the uptight European or German approach to technique and skill and the rather too loose American approach, which was sort of organic and sort of madly loose. And he just felt that really there needed to be, you know, a balance to it all. So he started to have quite a vocational bent and almost a missionary zeal about bringing the two together. And so, as it turned out, just at that time, the Canberra School of Art was being formed under the directorship of Udo Selbach.
I'm David Williams. I was a director of the ANU's School of Art, formerly the Canberra School of Art. Glass, which I think was very embryonic in the Australian context, I think must have presented Udo with a bit of a challenge. The challenge, of course, would be to start from scratch. The others had a bit of a grounding, but this was a workshop that needed somebody with the drive and the foresight to get the thing going.